All right, welcome in. We are live. It is Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus, back at a River Oaks property, Schoolyard Sports Studios. It's Zay Galindo and Sal Montes. Seattle defeats UTEP 75-68. There's a lot of ways to look at it. I mean, let's start off if you want to be negative about this. If you wanted to really harp against UTEP and say they've lost 13 of the last 14 games against Division I opponents, they've yet to defeat a Division I team thus far into their 2025 campaign. Those are all fair statements to say, and those are facts about this team right now as it stands. Miners have lost all these games against D1 teams, including Loyola Marymount, Utah State, William & Mary, UAB, Seattle today. 0-5 overall against Division I opponents. They have three wins, but those three wins are against Texas Permian Basin, Western New Mexico, and St. Thomas, and which was an overtime, you know, buzzer beating type of win. So, you know, of course, a lot of Miner fans are upset. Miner fans didn't have a chance to watch this team for the last 12 days, long layoff. And I was pretty worried going into this one. That's kind of, you know, how I want to start on it, because I think you can look on this pretty negatively and say, man, you know, UTEP is just in a rut right now in basketball. The bar is set pretty low. And going into this game, the bar was really low. Look at the net rating that came out. You know, Miners, what, 312 in the net rating, the first ones that came out for the Miners. 234 by KenPom, by the way, so not as bad as the net rankings for UTEP basketball. But, you know, you look at this game right here, and maybe there were things to flip it around and not to be so negative and not to continue to talk about how bad, you know, the start to the season has been for this UTEP basketball team, to flip it around this time around and suggest that, hey, maybe they figured out some things. Did it lead to a win? No. The spread was like 12.5 going into this one, so not a lot of people thought the Miners stood even a remote chance against Seattle, but the bottom line was they had this game tied in the final 5 minutes. They had multiple chances to maybe pull ahead and maybe even win this one. Instead, it was Seattle pulling this game off in the final minutes, 75-68, and that is where we stand here, Zay. I'll swing it your way because, you know, I'm taking positives from this one, thinking they figured out things in the front court, and we can get into it all. I got a lot of thoughts. I got a lot of burning questions I want to ask both you and Sal. But where we start the show here today at 915-505-6009, I feel a little better about this UTEP basketball team, at least figuring some things out about this group. Am I completely wrong on this, or how do you feel?
No, I completely agree with you. I mean, they looked the best that we've seen maybe since the Loyola Marymount game. Honestly, they put some things together, right? They had that, I think it was an 8-point lead at one point. That's when it really looked, okay, you know, you see how this maybe could work. But, you know, they obviously have to be more consistent. They need to tee up defensively, I think, that their three-point defense. And Seattle's a three-point shooting team. You know, they're going to shoot all those types of threes, and you know, they end up hitting 10 tonight. But other than that, like you said, you summed it up perfectly. This team coming into this game, probably not a lot of fans had big expectations. I didn't. I certainly thought this was going to be a blowout, and pleasantly surprised that they kept it that close and they gave themselves an opportunity to win this.
Yeah, and the final score in this one, again, Seattle wins 75-68. You want to talk about it with us, 915-505-6009. We'll get Sal's thoughts in just a bit. He's also with us on the program. We also want to get to some thoughts on social media, Twitter and X. I got a couple burning questions I want to ask out there as well for some of these different players that we got a chance to see. Zay, you know, I'm going to give a lot of flowers to the front court today. Jamal West Jr., 21 points, 8 for 11 from the floor. He felt like he could have even made more than that. 14 rebounds in this matchup as well. 36 minutes of action. A very active night for him. Only 2 turnovers for him. He also included a block. And then on the other side, Elijah Jones, 18 points. He made 2 three-pointers out of 8 attempts, which I don't like that many attempts for him. But he did have a block. He did have a steal in 25 minutes in action today. Elijah Jones, Jamal West Jr., is this a, you know, an inside-out type of team offensively when you look at it?
I think maybe it could be, but, you know, I liked how both of them played. I mean, Elijah Jones, he had 13 second-half points, and you talked about the three-point attempts. I agree. I don't think he should be shooting 8, but I think a couple of those came late in the game, kind of desperation shots. So, in reality, I think that if you can get Elijah Jones hitting a 3 a game for you, like, that's big. That's big. And then you know, for Jamal West Jr., this is kind of what, you know, fans were hoping for out of this guy. We know that he gives up a lot of size down low when he's playing that five spot, but he's a big physical forward that can go up with the best of them. He can jump with the best of them, and he's a, you know, he's a good rebounder. At least that's what it seemed when he played in the Southland Conference. So you want to get these types of performance out of them. I don't want to say game in and game out because that's probably unrealistic, but if you want to give yourself a chance to win conference games, you're going to need both of those guys to step up every game.
Let's talk about it here on Minor Talk, 915-505-6009. We'll get to some of the mentions here in just a bit. Sal Montes, other co-host here on the program with us, is back with us at a River Oaks property, Schoolyard Sports Studios. Sal, Maldonado on the other side, absolutely outstanding. 28 points in this game for Seattle. That's Braden Maldonado. The Miners struggled to stop him, and then down the stretch, it was really Seattle's defense that locked up and gave them that victory down the stretch. I felt like UTEP fought hard, but they weren't able to escape that defensive effort by Seattle.
No, I think it was a solid game for the Miners. Obviously, they lost, but I mean, going into this game, right, seeing, you know, just using the eye test, didn't really pass it for the Miners, right, going into this one. So you felt like it was going to be a blowout early, but they hung in there, and it was, you know, it was back and forth, and they had a chance, right? That's all you want if you're a team on the road in general. You just want a chance in the final minute or so, and that's exactly what they had. Ultimately, though, for Seattle, you know, just a bit more poise. Obviously, they're at home, so a little bit more comfortable there, but that's the consistency that they had just with the rotations. I mean, looking at the numbers here, four guys with 32 minutes or more, right? That's Maldonado, Arrington, Hambro, and Yale. So if you have those four guys out there, you're pretty much not missing a beat when it comes to certain packages or whatever you want to throw out there. They had that going for them. And as far as the Miners, you could see that, you know, they were kind of just a step behind and sometimes, you know, causing some fouls that if they were in the right place, it wouldn't have happened. So I think it was those little things that got Seattle over the hump today.
Sal, are we being too soft? That's the next point, and I'll ask you the same, Zay, because there are some people on social media who are still not accepting this loss and who still look at this team as an 0-5 squad.
Well, you know, that's what they are, right? They in reality, they're an 0-5 squad. They didn't get the W out tonight, but we touched on it earlier. Expectations were low with this team. So if you came into this game thinking UTEP should have won, then you have every right to be upset. And at the end of the day, this is year five of the Joe Golding era. UTEP shouldn't be in that position, but just based on how they played in Jacksonville against UAB and William & Mary, this is a step in a good direction. So maybe we're being too soft, but you have to take your wins when you can get them.
Yeah, and I would totally well put, Zay. I like what you said there. 915-505-6009. Sal, what do you think? Are we being too soft on this, or do you take a step back ever and think, well, this is year five? You know, when are they actually going to turn the corner and actually win some of these games? Or is the proverbial bar set so low on this season based on the start?
I think it's that. I think the bar, not only has it been set so low, it's continued to move lower, you know, game by game. So, I mean, at the start of the season, you tell me UTEP loses, knowing nothing that we know now, right? At the start of the season, hey, UTEP's going to lose, looking at my crystal ball, by 7 on the road to Seattle. It's like, what the hell? How are you losing this game? But after you barely, you know, squeak past St. Thomas in overtime, needing two heroic efforts, you know, LMU, you name it, pretty much any Division I team this year, I didn't expect much at all from this Miners team. I didn't expect them to drop 68, if I'm being frank with you. So, look, the score does not show the way that the game truly was. And I think if the Miners can play this way going forward and, you know, touch up a thing here or there, game by game, this is a team that could improve. Now, I don't know how good they can be. I'm not saying they're going to be good, but I think they can be better than what they played today, which was significantly better than, you know, that plate that we got served 3-4 games, you know, previously.
Jack in the Box, thinking way outside the box and open 24/7 because Cravings don't have a curfew. They are our title sponsor here on Minor Talk. We're also brought to you in part by Boomy Dental, Thomas Adams Apparel, New Start Homes, the District Pub and Kitchen West here on Minor Talk as we continue. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. A lot of tweets to get to as well here on the program. 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next. Let's go to Kurt, who's going to join us first, give us his thoughts, and then I've got a bunch of burning questions that I want to ask both you, Sal, and Zay. We're also going to check in on some fantasy basketball, and I know Zay is going to have some kind of a program in on this, so we'll input some results and see where we're at with all this. But let's go to Kurt first on the program. 915-505-6009. Kurt, good evening, man. What's going on?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Kurt. Are we being too soft? Are you disappointed after this loss?
I think you're being a little bit too soft. I'm very disappointed. I'm a season ticket holder. I've been for years. I've had enough of this. This team has no identity. They don't play. They don't have a rebound. It's bad coaching. She's been here 5 years now. Been extended in there 3 years by Jim Center. And honestly, they're not going to win 10 games this year going to the conference, I think. They're that bad, in my opinion.
I'm worried about them in conference. I am worried about them in conference. Kurt, did you see any building parts this today that you could get at least a little excited about, or do you feel like they just lack an identity to where they just can't get it right now?
They just can't get it right. They were off for, 12 days, and you know, until this game tonight, and then it's just they have no identity. There's just no the offense is, I don't know what they're doing out there. They're lost out there. You don't play 40 minutes of hell. Every possession counts. It's heart, hustle, and desire. That's what basketball is about. If you can't play that, then, you know, you're not going to win games. And they're not talented enough to win games. So it's going to be a very long year, guys. Very long year. And I don't see it getting any better. And unfortunately, I have to say that because I watch these games every year. I've been doing this for years and this coaching staff, and it's just not going anywhere.
Okay, I got you, Kurt. Hey, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. Thank you for giving the fan perspective on the frustration because, you know, if we're going to try to be fair and peel it back from kind of this, I don't know, media perspective, I could see why me, Sal, and Zay are like, all right, we're kind of feeling a little better right now. I know grand scheme, I don't feel good about this season. I don't think anybody back at the station feels good about the season where it's starting right now. But it's good to get perspective from you, who's just kind of, you know, a fan who's fed up about the whole situation. So appreciate your phone call, Kurt. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter and X, and then 600 ESPN El Paso, our app as well. Let's do it. Let's talk some burning question, guys. I'm going to throw some of these questions your way, and we'll kind of revisit and we'll kind of go around the table here. Before we get into that, I do want to give you guys an update on the fantasy basketball roster. Chris Collins from Inspo Lens, this is his team with us that he drafted. Jamal West, Cassius Brooks, L.A. Hayes. I have Tyrese Watson, K.J. Thomas, David Tubek. Sal has Caleb Blackwell, Elijah Jones, Muhammad Mbe, and Jordan Hernandez. Zay has Kasim Watson, Trey Horton, and Bobby Montgomery. Zay, how did we forget C.J. Smith?
You know, the 6'7" forward out of Oklahoma State just wasn't on the radar. I think whoever had the last pick just
that was me.
By default should end up with C.J. Smith. And it might be a steal, you know. It might be a steal. He had a couple of big-time plays today that assisted Trey Horton. So looks like Sal may have scored on C.J. Smith.
So my first burning question, Sal, you do deserve C.J. Smith, by the way. We're just going to give another dash and put C.J. Smith on
your team.
But my first question is, where's this been? I mean, this is actually not that bad from what we saw from C.J. Smith in a small bit of effort today.
I mean, it's definitely something you want to see, considering what we saw the last couple of games. I'll say it that way. Ultimately, though, you want to see these efforts result in a win. And they just got a lot more pieces of the puzzle that they got to get to even try to put together. So there are ways from it. And the way I'm approaching the season, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, just in general for this team, I think I've accepted the fate of this team. And I know it's not going to be you know, lucky if this team is average, put it that way. So if I see some good basketball for majority of the game as opposed to, you know, the other side, I'll take it, man. Hey, you got to take what you could get because you're not going to get much.
Okay, I'm going to throw this one your way, Zay. I have KJ Thomas on my team, but this is my question. Are we going to see his minutes diminish a bit? And I think the answer is no by default, because if you heard the postgame show, you heard head coach Joe Golding talk to us about how Tyrese Watson is hurt. They said on the ESPN Plus broadcast that he's hurt. He was kind of limping and hobbling around in the first half, didn't play a second in the second half. But prior to this game right here, we saw dwindling minutes from a guy we thought we would see a lot more in KJ Thomas against William & Mary and UAB, 17 minutes off the bench in those games. Against St. Thomas, 26 minutes in overtime. You know, against Utah State and Loyola Marymount, those are the games where he did average a lot of minutes, 28 and 34 minutes respectively. Here tonight against Seattle, 27 minutes, but they absolutely needed those minutes knowing they didn't have Watson in the second round. So, Zay, how do we gauge that? What do we know about what kind of role we envision for KJ Thomas moving forward?
Well, he had a bit of a downslope, right? He struggled the past couple of games. I think that for him, he needs to find his identity offensively. You know, we talk a lot about this UTEP team finding their identity. A guy like KJ Thomas needs to find his identity. What role are you going to play in this offense next to a guy like Tyrese, next to a guy like Caleb Blackwell? Are you going to be the point guard? Can you play off the ball? Can you score off the ball? And I think that he struggled to do all three of those things early in this year. So obviously, you said it tonight, 27 minutes. They needed those. I think he had 5 points. 3 assists. He can be a good player like that if he's putting up a stat line that's productive and he's sharing the ball out. And of course, we know that Joe Golding loves his defense, so he just needs to continue to find himself, find his identity offensively. I don't think he's done that this year or in his whole college career, which is short, but he really just, we don't know what type of player he is really offensively, and I don't think he does either.
He's kind of a boom or bust offensive player. Offensive rating is a stat that KenPom tracks that takes advanced analytics and applies it to an offensive rating that they give every single player for every single game. Let me read you the offensive rating over the last couple games. Against Utah State, in 28 minutes, he was only a 28 offensive rating. This game, 129 offensive rating, which is good. That's a good number right there. Against UAB, 92. Against William & Mary, 23. So it's all over the place right now. And then as far as points scored, against UAB, 1 point. Against William & Mary, nothing. Against St. Thomas in that overtime game, nothing. He had 5 assists and 3 turnovers in that game as well. Against Utah State, 3 points. Tonight, 5 points for KJ Thomas. So I'm curious on the role he's going to play moving forward, guys. I'm just, you know, a guy who everybody expected to take a bigger jump here in his sophomore year, and he's going to need to, Zay. That's another thing. They're going to really need his minutes if they're expecting to lose Tyrese Watson for extended points this month.
They are, and I think that you hope for him that he figures it out, and I think that if he does figure it out, UTEP's going to find some sort of success, right? Because you need, one, to continue your hot streak of recruiting. If you can keep hitting on guys, especially with your Texas high school basketball pipeline, that's a good look for your school, right? You hit on David Terrell. You want to try and hit on KJ Thomas coming from Amarillo. And second off, you just need scoring. You need scoring. You need dudes to step up. And I think tonight he stepped up perfectly into that role of being the on-ball point guard. He can bring the ball up. He can set the offense. And they can do it in a productive way.
Seattle defeated UTEP 75-68. This one's for you, Sal. Welcome back, bad play in the final 3 minutes of the end of the first half. This is not just a basketball thing. This is a football thing as well. Right before halftime, you just see UTEP teams crumble in certain moments. And 37-31 doesn't seem like a lot. It actually seems like a pretty good first half compared to other bad first halves that we've seen by the Miners, Sal. But still, I mean, the Miners could have actually gone to halftime tied, and they lost 75-68. That could have been valuable points that they got down the stretch. In the final 3 minutes, here we go. Seattle, 7-0 run over the last 3 minutes. And then the Miners, a 3-plus scoring drought, minute scoring drought to end the first half. Welcome back. Yeah. Bad play in the final 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's just very inefficient, and it shows that the lights get too bright for this offense, and I'm just talking about a Joe Golding offense in general. When you go back to essentially his first year, you're relying on individual talent to go get those buckets, and you haven't really seen that happen much. But on the flip side, if you're not going to get that, what are you going to scheme for your guys to make that plan easier for you? And then, I mean, that's just one part of the game, right? On defense, you see some lapses and some fouls or just being out of position. Definitely want to clean that up, and it's not complimentary at all. It kind of just feels like a snowball turning into an avalanche possession by possession. So that's something you want to see them clean up. But as far as, you know, guys stepping up, it's going to have to be somebody, if it is somebody. So I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe Thomas. I mean, we'll see. But there's a lot that this team has to figure out. And you saw that to close out both halves.
We really did. We saw it in both halves. I have Elijah Jones questions, but I want to wait on those. Zay, I'll flip it back to you. What happened to Cassius Brooks? Completely benched? I don't even know if he made the trip or not. I didn't. I wasn't looking at the bench close enough. I'll get some clarification on that, but absolutely no Cassius Brooks from essentially starting for the Miners to a DNP. That was a bit surprising.
Yeah, that was disappointing to me. I think that Cassius Brooks is somebody that when UTEP was struggling, he was one of their only bright spots. He would go in there, he'd get some buckets. I think in that UAB game he really shined, or really in Jacksonville he looked pretty, pretty good compared to a pretty bad UTEP team. But you saw how, you know, a guy like Cassius Brooks can really come in and put some energy into not only your offense but as your team as a whole. So it was disappointing not to see them out there tonight. I hope that everything's good. Hopefully it's not injury related, and hopefully he's still on the team.
Yeah, I mean, that's another good point. Just knowing what we've seen in the past, it's fair to ask. What's wrong with Kasim Watson, Zay? He was 3-for-12 today off the bench, could not get into his groove offensively, and they needed some minutes of his buckets. 7 points today, 25 minutes. 7 points doesn't sound bad for Kasim Watson. Also, the two steals are really good. He's a lanky kind of guy, a combo forward. I really like him as a player. I just want to see him better. I really want to see him score more points offensively.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I need to rewatch his Delaware State tape because I want to see how this guy scores. I feel like that's another guy who just hasn't found his identity here at UTEP offensively. He's the guy that, you know, you kind of hoped UTEP could build around, a lengthy 6'8", 6'9", forward who can score at all three levels coming in. I mean, that sounds great for a UTEP team that has struggled doing that, especially at the four position. So it's really disappointing to see how this season just hasn't gone his way so far. And they're going to need him come conference play if they want to be in the mix for at least, you know, 7 or 8 wins, right? You need a guy like him to step up, especially when you have his type of scoring upside.
Man, that's how low the bar is, 7 or 8 wins in conference play. Wow. But it's true, Zay. I mean, you're speaking realistic when it comes to this team and where we think this team is at. Sal, I'll throw this one at you. Elijah Jones, today, 18 points, 25 minutes. It was the defense, though, how active he was defensively. Yeah. He was disrupting a lot of things defensively. And that's finally, like, if they're going to win a game, if they're going to finally get a stupid hump and finally beat Division I teams. Again, 13 of the last 14 games they've lost against Division I opponents. If they're finally going to get over this hump, it's going to be from the likes of Elijah Jones just going off. The only problem I don't like about this is it feels like they're getting everything they can out of Elijah Jones, who still will make a couple mistakes here and there, and that's okay. He's still kind of growing into himself and trying to figure himself out. But Sal, you got him in the second round of our fantasy basketball league. I can't believe he was still on the board.
Yeah.
Knowing how valuable he is, he truly is so valuable to this team. Without Elijah Jones, this team is cooked. Like they would have no identity down low or defensively.
You just want to see some ferocity, right? You know, from someone consistently. Who is that tone setter? And usually it's like a fast guard or whatever the case is, you know what I mean? Somebody who's just going to be quick and like a bruiser. But Jones is kind of doing that out there. He's representing the wings big time. So I'm liking what I'm seeing. You definitely need that type of contagious energy, especially in a defense like this, right? Especially when the identity on defense is it's high risk, high reward, but they're going to be in your face. They're going to try and close things up. You want that out of Elijah Jones. But Adrian, you said if they don't have this, if they don't have Jones on this team, they could be cooked. Well, how about this? We know high risk, high reward. It could be potential foul trouble in some games, and you could be losing him for periods
Good
at
point.
A time. So we're going to need to see somebody else embrace that type of, you know, embody that type of energy, just that presence out there. And I don't know who it's going to be, right? There's still a lot of questions out for this team, but it's definitely something you want to see. It's just, I mean, there's only so much he can do out there. Only time will tell, man. I don't know. I'm at a loss for words, though, that I did get him in the second round. So thank you, guys.
Zay, what can he do better? Because I feel like there's still a level for Elijah Jones to go. Like, when we watch him, and if this is an 18-point effort game today, I still think he could be even better. Is that too much to ask? Is that unrealistic for UTEP basketball?
No, I think that that's I see that too. Watching him play, watching him get the ball, he can be better. He can be a little bit more, I think cleaner is the word, right? He might be a little, I don't want to say clumsy with it, but just be a little smoother with it. You know, be able to create on the ball. You know, if he's the top of the key, can he shimmy his way into a mid-range bucket? Can he shimmy his way into a post bucket?
He had a couple of nice layups like that, like what you're saying, like top of the key creating and a couple layups that went his way tonight, which was actually like the first time I've ever seen that for Elijah Jones, to your point.
And that's what you need out of him. Like if the way that I look at it, you need him to take like a huge jump to really, really like, I can see him taking a huge jump to the point where this offense runs through Elijah Jones, right? They're going to just try and feed it to him every play. That's the type of jump that I'm envisioning when I'm talking about this, because you said it perfectly. Like, he can do that every so often, but can he do it when UTEP needs him every play? Like, that's my type of jump, because he's already there. I feel like he's putting it together really well, and he's been like the one bright spot, I think. Even through all the rough games, he's been the one bright spot. I mean, he's on Twitter saying, we're going to do better. I promise, like, he has really grown on and off the court.
Sal, do you think they can win with Elijah Jones being this good? If he's like their best player, is this a recipe for winning?
It definitely helps. I think he definitely needs other guys around him who can, you know, have some sort of input on the game, but he's just so raw, man. Like, just the potential that's out there for him. You get excited for it. The only problem is, right, like, let's just say he continues this type of play, you know, more or less in that area, right? Let's just say 15 to 20 points a game, you know, 25 to 30 minutes a game. I think that's too much. Let's say 23 to 28 minutes a game. We'll kind of go right down the middle of his numbers today. That's all good and well. But come January, you know, early February, the jury's already going to be out. Hey, this is their best player. All eyes are going to be on Elijah. It's going to have to be somebody else to help out. So I love it. I feel you, Adrian. But the reality is, hey, once that film gets out, your team is known, you know, after a certain amount of time.
915-505-6009. Minor Talk continues here on the program with burning questions here on the program. Sal, I'll keep you with this one. How about Mohamed Embe diving for loose balls, coming in off the bench? He's not terrible. Like, maybe he can actually find some minutes on this year's squad.
Those are moments that make you wish that this game was at the Don Haskins Center, just so you could hear the crowd react. But that's what you want to see.
Yeah.
You want to see guys fighting for the ball. You want to see guys doing the smallest things possible to help you out in those situations.
Two rebounds, and, to your point, the smallest things that he can contribute.
Exactly. And for a guy who, you know, had some, I don't want to say bad footing issues, nothing like that, but, you know, just kind of still getting used to the speed, Division I, from what we saw last year at spurts, it definitely makes you happy seeing just the one foul that he had. And granted, it's only 6 minutes of play, but you want to be reliable when you're out there on the floor and do things that keep you on the floor and, you know, not do the things that take you off. So, no, I love it, man. That's something the fans would love if it was here.
Okay, we got a lot of tweets to read. We got a message on our app. We got some texts coming in. Let's do this, guys. Let's take our first and only time out of the program. When we come back, I've got five more burning questions before we let go here or let you go here on Minor Talk. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next. 600 ESPN El Paso, our free mobile app to check in and chime in with us. 915-505-6009. We'll keep it shorter here on tonight's Minor Talk. We'll be back in action next week for the Hawaii matchup as well. But let's get your thoughts on this one. Seattle defeats UTEP 75-68, along with Sal Montes, Zay Galindo. We're presented by Jack in the Box. We'll be back in action right after this on 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, Seattle defeats UTEP 75-68. Let's talk about it here on Minor Talk. We got comments coming in on Twitter next. We've got thoughts coming in. I've got five more burning questions with the guys, along with Zay Galindo and Sal Montes. We're presented by Jack in the Box. Do want to mention this quickly, Zay. Ashton Coker hitting the transfer portal a day after Jake Utley, offensive lineman, hitting the transfer portal. A little UTEP football minor talk here on the program, despite us talking basketball. But your thoughts, now names starting to trickle in for UTEP and the portal.
I'll say this. You know, I think Ashton Coker and Jake Utley were building pieces I think this team could have built around, but I didn't see either of them take humongous steps up after, you know, coming out. I think Utley was a redshirt freshman, Scotty's first year, and then Coker was a true freshman. So tough losses, but, you know, it's nothing that you're going to lose sleep on.
Okay, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. There's still more priority keeps on UTEP's roster. Let's go to some messages that came in to us. Leo underscore minor fan. Better outing than I would have thought. Second half wasn't a train wreck. Almost. Still a lot of basketball to be played. Have a good night. Hashtag picks up. Angry Tim Floyd. That's where we're at with this team. Relieved that it wasn't a blowout. Get ready to hear Golding say proud of their effort, and they battled all season long. The Hawaii game will get ugly on the other hand. This is from Justice Urbina. So let me get this straight. You think you're that your team and staff performed amazing tonight and we still lost? Chris, some guy, Chris, I can't stand this, talking about Joe Golding's postgame. Shannon Sharpie, signs of life, proud of the guys tonight, hashtag minor talk. I think it's a split minor fan base. Tristan Pence, 1-13 in their last 14 games against Division I teams. There really isn't much more to say. Some guy, Chris, points this out. Tyrese Watson in the five losses, 6 points per game, 32% from the field, 18 turnovers to 12 assists. There's obviously something wrong with Tyrese Watson right now. I mean, he's hurt, and he's just not playing to his caliber and what they really need him to do. George Cooper, another Division I school, another loss. Time for Golding to move on. This is coming in for Manny David. Better game tonight with a good effort on the road. Even though the Miners lost, I still like the effort. Just taking this season one game at a time. Still plenty of basketball left. Hashtag Miner Talk. Manny David said, sticking with basketball, it was nice to get an email offering mini plans for the second half of the season. Already bought my Saturday plan and looking forward to the men's basketball as well as women's basketball. All right, there you go. Augustine, question for you both. The effort is there, but if you check out the assist, that's very low. Is the problem that this isn't necessarily a team yet? Team in the true word there, Sal. Your thoughts on that, Sal? I would think Augustine's onto something. I think that they still lack a lot of chemistry.
Yeah, that's for sure. You definitely want to see some cohesion out there. And you got to see some of it today. I mean, you can only do so much in the game. It's a step in the right direction. But he's right, though. If you can have more assists, obviously that means there's more points for you guys, and that's going to help. But that's just part of it. That's a piece of the puzzle. The next part is going to be, can you take care of the ball, you know, in crunch time? Can you get a stop in crunch time? Can you not foul in crunch time? Like, those are things that help. But when you get into the situation where the margin for error is slim to none, that's where you got to thrive. And sometimes it's just instinct. Sometimes it's scheme. You know, it all depends on where you're at. But, I mean, I wouldn't say it's the exact reason, but it plays a part, though.
I agree. I mean, I look at a lot of different things with tonight and different responses from people, like listeners out there, and I just think it's still a divided fan base. Like, some of them, some fans do see the progress they've made. Others are impatient. They don't want to see this team lose again. Locomotive Minor, I have a lot of respect for you three, but I completely disagree with you. I'm not taking a moral victory against Seattle. It wasn't too long ago that we wouldn't be playing away games like this against teams like Seattle. Teams like Seattle played us at the Dawn for an easy win. Now we're playing bye games against Utah State. Year five isn't a time for moral victories. Your thoughts on that, Zay? I mean, it's just, you know, people who are kind of bummed right now after this loss.
You know, I understand it. I get it. But, hey, the only team to beat Texas Western in 1966 was Seattle. So
there you go. Yeah, I like it.
They own you, they own the Miners, so yeah.
They own the There you go. I like that. Hey, and the Miners beat them last year at the Dawn, by the way. Sports Talk Carlos, very successful night. As we know, success isn't defined by wins and losses here at UTEP. Plus, they covered the spread in a very difficult environment. 300 fans in an 18,000-seat arena is hellacious. Oh, man. Love the sarcasm there by Sports Talk Carlos. Good points that he brings up, though. Other ones, Joe Jacone, we lost tonight, but not as much as I did to Sal as my pal last night. At least we put a good effort in. Size is killing us. Hashtag rapping from El Chuco. Hashtag Brock is my OG. Hashtag Zay all the way. Hashtag Adrian and Zay need to join my league. Sal, you need to elaborate. I think it was a big win you had against our very own Joe Jacone.
So last night, you know, I messaged him because we're in a dynasty that he's the commissioner of for the college football game. And I'm like, hey, man, I did my recruiting, like, ready to advance or whatever. And he's like, let's jump on. I'm like, all right, cool. I forgot what time it was, maybe like 11 or 12. We played, Adrian. I'm dead right now. We played till like 3 in the morning. My wife was like, hey, you're too loud. You're waking us up. So we had to cut it short, but we got like 4 games in. He won the first one. I won the second one and the third one. We did a UTEP versus UTEP game. UTEP won. I was UTEP. He was UTEP.
Nice.
So
okay.
Figured out there. And then
Blue Blaze.
Out of the 4 games, like 3 of them came down to like the last possession. So, no, it's fun, man. Joe's a cool dude.
Okay, I love it. Good, big shout out to Joe Chacon. Let's go to some of the other questions that I had, guys, and we'll ping around with some thoughts on what you guys think. I'll throw this one to you, Zay. Where is David Tubek? We talked about some DNPs with guys like Cassius Brooks right now. No David Tubek tonight either. The guy who transferred from Seton Hall, 6'7". He was a guy who this team was very high on going into this year. Only 7 minutes against UAB. Only 17 minutes against William and Mary, against Utah State, 19 minutes off the bench. And this is a guy who, in his UTEP career, hasn't really scored a lot of points in any relevant games. He put 0 points up today in 1 minute of action, nothing against UAB. He had 6 points against William and Mary, which was positive, and he hit a 3-pointer, which they needed in that game. But, you know, against a team like Loyola Marymount, he had 0 points. So what's up with David Tubek, and why isn't this working out, Zay?
You know, I think the issue with David Tubek is today I didn't even notice he wasn't playing. Like, he just has been a non-factor for this team. And I mean that in I guess there's no nice way to say it, right? He just needs to be better, right? What are you going to do to benefit this team? And obviously the coaching staff just doesn't think that he's going to add much, right? Unless there's an injury that we don't know about. David Tubek has just struggled to get it going. And you hope, for the sake of UTEP, that they can figure out how to implement him more and get him more involved. But tonight he was just a no-go. And that's telling. When this is a 7-point game, you're going to play your best players down the stretch. And David Tubek was not one of them.
Okay, a similar storyline, and I'll keep you with this one, Zay. Where is L.A. Hayes, and why hasn't this worked out? L.A. Hayes, JUCO bounce back. He played at Kent State his first season last year, killed it at JUCO. DNP tonight against UAB, he had 15 minutes, and he had 2 points in that game. He only had 1 shot attempt in that game. Against William & Mary, 1 minute. Against St. Thomas, 2 minutes. Against Utah State, 5 minutes. And against Loyola Marymount, 6 minutes. He's attempted a total of 1 shot against Division I teams. What happened to L.A. Hayes? What is going on here, Zay?
That's another one. It's confusing, right? Because you look at this team as a whole, they just haven't hit on their recruits that you thought you'd hit on, right? This is like the 4th time that we're talking about, where's this guy or why hasn't this worked out? It's David Tubek hasn't worked out. Kasim Watson hasn't worked out. Tyrese Watson has struggled. You know, L.A. Hayes, Cassius Brooks, that's 5 newcomers that just haven't gotten it going. And that's just not a sign of success for this UTEP team, both on the court and on the recruiting trail. It's the same things that plague them on the court, and it's the same things that plague them off them. They really can't recruit at a high clip. And I know the NIL situation isn't great, but I'll tell you what, you know, you got to be able to do the best with what you've got, and you've got to be able to find hidden gems here and there, and UTEP just hasn't done that.
Sal, I'll bring you back for this one. This is more on a positive note. Jamal West Jr., 21 points, 14 rebounds in this game, 36 minutes. I really liked his play, and I think he could have had even more points than what he had.
No, for sure. And he had an impressive line. It's been, like, really efficient from the floor. If we're going to get specific, 8 for 11, 5 for 6 from the line. So, you know, that aggression, right? Like, he plays with that aggression, and he's rewarded for it. He rebounded well tonight. And only 3 fouls to his credit. Like, if you're going to have somebody as active as he was tonight, and this, we can say the same for Elijah, right? Just the activity that they had out there, that could be really, really helpful for the Miners. So, it's definitely a building piece. duties, but a solid game for him, man. I mean, 36 minutes. Think about this. 36 minutes in a game that was basically decided in the final, what would you say, like 40 seconds or so? Like, that's when you kind of knew, like, hey, we can close the door on it, or, you know, the air was out of the tire at that point. That's really impressive, especially if you're that efficient.
Yeah, I thought Jamal West Jr., he is their best player. He needs to play this way night in, night out. It's asking a lot from him. And when they play the Wednesday-Saturday or Thursday-Saturday format, he's going to get tired. He's going to get tired. So going up against an opposing big like what he did today wasn't that bad. I mean, Seattle was kind of an undersized team, so they could match up pretty well with UTEP, and UTEP can match up well with them. But Jamal West banging down low with some of the guys in Conference USA, two times a week, that's a lot to ask for a guy like him. So he's going to get naturally worn down in some games, but when he's on like he was tonight, I mean, that's kind of the ceiling of somebody like Jamal West Jr. So back to the phones we go. 915-505-6009. Jim is next up with us on the phone lines. Jim, good evening, man. What's going on?
Good evening. Really enjoying the conversation, and thank you guys for doing this. I think in terms of where the fans are at and why you have some saying improvement, some saying no, is you really have some fans that are frustrated over the five-year trajectory and where we're at now, and they're absolutely right. But if you just take a look at this season, it's undeniable that tonight was one of the team's better games. You see improvement. You see the semblance of an inside game. You see more offensive creativity. Who really has been let off the hook tonight, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts, is Caleb Blackwell. This guy comes in as a top 15 JUCO recruit, gets totally outplayed by the Seattle point guard. I'm not sure he even hit 5 points tonight. But if this team is going to click, you're not going to click if you don't have a point guard that's playing at a high level. And that's really, to me, the X factor. If that guy can get going, then maybe you can have a salvageable, decent – this team's not going to win the NCAA championship or go to the tournament, but you can have a decent conference season if that guy gets going. I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. Guys, I'll bring you back because, Jim, perfect segue to my next question here and the burning questions. What's up with Caleb Blackwell was my question. Caleb Blackwell tonight, 2 points. So just like Jim was mentioning, under 5 points, 1 for 4 from the field. That I don't like that. I mean, 4 shot attempts for one of your best players, supposedly. 2 assists to 1 turnover. Don't like that either. 25 minutes and he fouls out with 5 fouls. Just not a lot that I like about that at all. Zay, I'll bring you back. I mean, they ask their guards to defend at a high level. Is it Caleb Blackwell buying in so much defensively that his offense is hurting? I guess I have to ask that to the coaching staff this week if in practice if that's the case. But I thought Caleb Blackwell was a shot maker, and he has not really been that for the Miners.
Well, you know, in JUCO, I think he averaged only 10 points at the JUCO ranks. And I think that the big sell on him was he can facilitate, he can bring the ball up, and he can run an offense at a high clip. We just haven't seen that, right? We haven't seen that from him. We haven't seen that from KJ Thomas or Tyrese Watson. And I hope that Caleb Blackwell gets it going because he can be a shot maker. He needs to be more aggressive, though. I mean, only 4 shot attempts. I know he only made one of them, but, you got to keep putting him up there. You got to keep putting him up there, especially when you don't have scoring in the backcourt like UTEP. UTEP doesn't have a guy to go to. They don't have a Tay Hardy, a Sule Boom, or they don't even have an Otis Frazier, right? They don't have a guard that can, you know, they're going to give the ball to with 5-4 seconds left on the shot clock. And I think Caleb Blackwell can be that guy. He can make those tough shots. He just needs to be more confident, and he needs to take more initiative offensively.
Yeah, I just, Sal, I'll bring you back. If they don't have guard play this season, can they win games?
No, they cannot. I mean, you'll be in some games.
And tonight was no guard play, really.
Exactly. And we just said it right now. Like, can you have somebody who can make those shots, you know what I mean, in the final couple minutes or the final couple seconds of a shot clock? And we're talking about primarily, right, just looking at the style of play going into UTEP, it's a pass-first guard. I think we can kind of say that. But right now, it's kind of like pass only. Maybe take a shot here or there. But Zay said it best, man. Just take that initiative, go out there and own the moment, own the game, own that possession, you know, when you have the ball. Do those little things right. And you just haven't really seen that well pretty much for a good part of the season. And it's concerning because we got that tweet right from Augustine, like, hey, we, you know, is assists are lacking. Is that part of it? Like, Blackwell was brought into the team for that specific reason. This is a guy who can facilitate. So it's on him to help get those numbers up, because I'm looking at the numbers across the board, and the biggest one is the fouls. That's the only stat he had that's five. Everything else is one or two, whether it's one rebound, one turnover, 2 points, two assists. Like, that's all that you get from him in 25 minutes. You definitely got to get more out of it. And then on top of that, right, they cannot win without solid guard play, because what is a Joe Golding team without a solid guard in the first place?
Good point. Yeah, and they play so much with their guards. I would
they
say
rely on them,
tonight's
yeah.
And tonight's game was maybe one of the single best efforts I've seen from UTEP playing like inside out under Joe Golding. Usually it's their guards leading them big time, and not really getting much offensive production from their bigs. But tonight was completely different. Getting 21 from Jamal West Jr., getting 18 from Elijah Jones, and then really nothing from the guards. Two from Blackwell, four from Tyrese Watson, nine from Trey Horton, although I don't really count. He's kind of like that stretch. He's kind of like that combo, so I don't really count him. And then, you know, five from KJ Thomas. I don't really count Kasim Watson, seven, again, because he's more of that combo. He's like a 3-4. So, yeah, that's how I kind of look at it. Here's my last question, and this is for you, Zay. Welcome back, Bobby Montgomery. Where has he been? I mean, look, he looked good today. And I think this is a product of he might not play every single game. When he can, he is impactful. Tonight in plus minus, he was plus two, one of the better, you know, plus minuses on UTEP's team. So the true freshman getting some action tonight in 8 minutes off the bench.
I need him to step up. He's on my fantasy team, and he's been a no-show. He's been a no-show these past couple games. Hasn't gotten into the contest, and it's good to see him back out on the floor. Baltimore's own Bobby Montgomery, the true freshman. And look, he looks the part of a basketball player, man. He's a 6'5". I think he looks big in person. He needs to put it together offensively, and I think I've said that for every UTEP player so far. That's probably a big red flag. But apart from that, he really hasn't looked that bad. And like you said, came in, gave UTEP some good minutes. That's what you need out of him. You need to get him reps. You need to get him in the game, and you need to hope that he finds himself down the stretch, because right now, everybody's struggling. So you got to try whatever. Try whatever it takes, and whether that's putting Bobby Montgomery in the game, Mohamed Embe, whatever can give you a spark at a time like this, you take it. And tonight it was Bobby Montgomery.
Hey, we did a fantasy draft along with Chris Collins from Inspo Lens, Sal and Zay, and myself. We drafted players from this team, and we've done a bit of a fantasy team for all of us. We talked about who's on which team. Hard to find a lot of points when UTEP's losing, but Zay, let's do a check-in. Give us some of the give me a summary of the scoring updates and what we're seeing in our inaugural year tracking these fantasy numbers.
So, do you want to know who's in the lead, or do you want to guess who's in the lead?
Okay, I'll guess, since you teed me up. I will guess, based on the roster that I sent out earlier, I will guess it's Sal leading the way because of Elijah Jones and the value that he got with Elijah Jones. So, am I right? Is Sal winning because he has Elijah Jones and Caleb Blackwell?
No, right now, the leader... it's our guy Chris from Inspo Lens. He leads with
Jamal West,
Cassius Brooks, and L.A. Hayes right now.
How is that possible?
So according to it, the fantasy points is Jamal West has 174.7. Cassius Brooks has 92.2, which is like for the rest, compared to the rest of the team, like that's pretty high. And then L.A. Hayes has 42.8.
Okay.
And
okay.
I think...
well, then I could see it.
Yeah, the Cassius Brooks one, that's a good second player for him. Like, that was a steal in the second round. Then Jamal West Jr. has just been, like you said, the best player on this team. He's been the most productive. Another productive night tonight. All those rebounds and points, they add up.
Okay, who's last and how far down am I?
Last. I am last, and I'm last by...
I'm surprised I'm not last. I'm surprised I'm not last. Well, I know your team.
My team has been terrible. Kasim Watson, 134 points, which is not bad. He's actually pretty good for Kasim. Trey Horton has 18 points for me, and then Bobby Montgomery has 9.8. And I think I don't know if these are updated because Trey Horton actually had a pretty good game, so I think he should have more than 18 today. But we'll see if they update tomorrow to put in today's stats. I'm not sure how it works. But, yeah, I'm last with 162, and by a far margin, like by over 100 points, I'm last.
Wow. Well, okay. Well, I'm curious to see once the numbers are updated how this all trickles out. So I'm assuming it's Chris, number one, Sal, two, me, three, you, four. Is that right?
So you're second.
Wow.
You're
okay.
Second.
I'm happy. Tyrese, KJ Thomas, David Tubek. I'm excited. And then Sal's in third, Caleb Blackwell, Elijah Jones, and then Mbe. And then we're going to have to add CJ Smith to this group, too. So, okay, I like it. We got a lot of basketball to play. Fantasy numbers can change, but a good little check-in right here on the program, and good stuff, guys. I appreciate it. 915-505-6009 as we kind of wind down the show. Seattle defeated UTEP 75-68. Guys, we'll whip around one more time around here with some final thoughts and some thoughts going into Hawaii. By the way, Miners right now, they fall to obviously 3-5 on the year, 0-5 against Division I opponents. Hawaii, by the way, 8-2. Are the Rainbow Warriors. They're 100 per KenPom. And they just beat Cal State Fullerton yesterday, 69-59. That was a home game for them. They don't lose at home. In fact, they're undefeated at home right now. Or I should say almost undefeated. They lost to Arizona State 83-76. But still, what this team has done recently, a four-game win streak. They have wins against North Dakota, UC Davis, who's going to be in the Mountain West next year. And then, like we mentioned, Cal State Fullerton. I'll throw it to you, Sal. Just some final thoughts from tonight. Seattle defeats UTEP 76-68, and the Miners have Hawaii next Sunday, December 13th. That's a late game, by the way. So, no, not sure if we're going to do Miner talk after that one, but still, Miners Rainbow Warriors coming up next week.
Yeah. Flat out, I don't expect to win. I think that's obvious. I don't know who else here feels that way. I wouldn't be surprised if you do, but you definitely want to see some building off of today's performance. You don't want to see those little lapses. Just give yourself a chance in the final couple minutes. If you do that, that's where we can see some, we can kind of grade that improvement, but it's going to be tough, man. Traditionally, and you and I know this, one of their last trips to Hawaii did not go well at all. We won't even.
Diamond Head Class.
Exactly, man. What a disaster that was. So obviously it's way different now, different staff, all, you know, different roster. But you just want to see them put up a fight. And I'm not saying there's any moral victories or anything like that. Like I said, I've accepted the fate. Now that I know what's to be expected, whenever something's better than what should be expected, I'll be happy.
Zay, that game or that team that Sal was referencing, 2019-2020, Rodney Terry squad, the UTEP that year finished 17-15. This was Bryson Williams, Effie Odigi, Deion Stroud, Sule Boom, Anthony Tark, Daryl Edwards, Jordan Lathan, Nigel Hawkins, Caden Archie, Titus Verhoeven, Eric Villa. How do they even come up with a rotation with a team like that? And then they go to the Diamond Head Classic in Hawaii. They lose the first game to the Rainbow Warriors, 67-63. They beat Ball State 71-70. They lose to Boise State 72-67. And then it kind of spirals after that. They had guys hit the portal mid-year right as non-conference play finished. And then everything kind of spiraled after the fact. But that was the last trip to Hawaii. Hopefully things will be much better this time around. You know, the Miners, they desperately need a win. I agree with Sal. I have them losing. It's next Saturday, by the way. I said Sunday. It's a Saturday game next week. But yeah, just your thoughts as the Miners turn the page here at 3-5.
Yeah, I think looking back to that trip, you know, they played some pretty good teams, right? You had the whole Jordan Lathan, Nigel Hawkins debacle. Did it happen after or before that?
It happened after, and I remember seeing the verbal commits tweet, and I remember hearing something behind the scenes like, hey, there was a blow up in the locker room, and Jordan Lathan's leaving the team. And I was like, what is that? So both of them hit the portal. It was like Jordan hits the portal first, and then Hawkins hit the portal a little after the fact. But then Hawkins withdrew his name from the portal and rejoined the team. And he was kind of like filling in for Lathan at the time. It was so crazy. There were so much things going off the court. And if people remember that year as well, Rodney Terry had a health scare in the Florida trip, like right after the fact. So they played FIU and Florida Atlantic, and they dropped both of those games on the road to start conference play. Rodney Terry had like a health scare during that time as well. So just a lot of craziness that happened, and like unexpected things off the floor. They tried to get Caden Archie, you know, eligible to join the team right away. It didn't really work that great for the team, and not really getting too much of production off of him. And they just truly relied heavily on Bryson Williams and Sule Boom that entire year. That was a really funny season, Zay. I will just say that the fact that they're going to Hawaii this time around with much less baggage, that's for sure.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, you don't see a blow up like that. But I mean, Hawaii is a tough place to play. I mean, you talked about a UTEP fail to Hawaii in that, which is, it was a good Hawaii team. They played three really good teams, and this UTEP team is going to have a similar task in playing a tough Rainbow Warriors squad on the road. You're playing on the island. It's going to be a weird tip-off time. It's just going to be weird all around. You hope that you get a performance somewhat like this. Obviously, fans hope you get a win, but if we're going into this one, you know, I don't think I expect UTEP to win it. I don't think you do. I don't think many people do, you know, just the way that this team has played. So keep getting those little wins, and hopefully they amount into some sort of competitiveness come conference play.
Sal, you're exactly right. The Texas Tech exhibition team, when they won that exhibition game against Texas Tech, I thought UTEP was ready to hang a banner that year.
Didn't we have minor talk?
We did have minor talk after that one. That's a great memory. Man. That was maybe one of our first UTEP basketball minor talks. That's
what? I'm going to dig in the archives. I think Zay would know this. There was a promo that they did for basketball on Twitter. It was like a quick, like 15, 20 second clip. And there's these guys like clapping, looking into the camera, and one of them's like, "Big guards, we got big guards." I don't know if you've seen that video. He's looking up like maybe, but that video, man, I was like, "Look at these guys, they're 6'6" guards. It's a wrap. Conference USA is done with. UTEP's gonna cook them." And that trip to Hawaii pretty much just changed my mind. Adrian, we gotta be real. Going into that, let's see if I could count it, 5, 8. And there were like maybe 2 or 3 versus, you know, D2 schools or whatever, but they had an 8-1 record. If we remove it, 6-1 or whatever it is going into that. And they lost to Houston, I think, on the road right before they went to Hawaii. And they were hanging tough like in the first half or something like that. They had a big play, then Houston just rolled them, and it was pretty much basketball like that for the rest of the year. The final 20 minutes or so of that Houston game was indicative of what the rest of the season would be eventually. But I mean, the hype was real for this team at this point, and it wasn't just UTEP fans. Like, we're talking about big mid-major profiles on social media saying, hey, keep an eye out for this UTEP team. They got the win against New Mexico as well that season. To win over New Mexico State to start the year, like the hype was real at that point.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I'm looking at their conference game. They shouldn't have been a first round exit the way that they were. Marshall defeated them 86-78 that year. They were first round conference exit, and in that game, Sule Boom had 13 points on 1-for-13 shooting. Bryson Williams had 25 points on 10-for-19 shooting, and Jordan Lathan had 22 points and 11 rebounds. So just a kind of weird game all around, or like a weird team all around. I mean, Deion Stroud coming off the bench as a true freshman, you know, finding minutes for Titus Verhoeven off the bench and in starting efforts. Daryl Edwards really helping the team out in a big way.
Man.
He was kind of that veteran leadership. Yeah, shout out Daryl Edwards, Sal. LSU's finest.
Yeah, I think the T and P in UTEP stands for transfer portal, because that's what this team was, whether they came to UTEP by way of it or left UTEP by way of it. Because if it's kind of like those NBA teams that get all these all-stars, and it's like, how did they lose games with this roster? I mean, what an incredible roster. And, man, Rodney Terry, man, bringing some dudes over. It's just unfortunate that some of them didn't work out. But you said something today earlier, you know, about this team. Like, they were kind of just relying on Sule Boom and Bryson Williams. And that's the way that it should have been, man. I mean, it's Sule Boom and Bryson Williams, too. So, man, what a star-studded team this was when you use hindsight.
Zay, this team right here would be over a $2 million NIL team in today's college basketball. That's just facts.
It might be over $3 million. Like, if we, like, look at this, like, Sule Bryson could get, like, $1 million. Sule could get $1 million right now. Bryson could get, like, $2 million. Like, seriously. Like, this team is expensive if it was in the NIL era. And talk about some dudes, like... this was
Caden,
like,
Archie out of TCU would have been $500,000. I'm sorry, he would have just been. They would have had to throw the bag at him because he was like a former four-star guy. Yeah, he was a former top 100 recruit. Like, they had some dudes on this team.
They really did. Like, Deion Stroud, that would have been an expensive freshman. Deion Stroud would have been an expensive freshman. Effie would have been pretty expensive. And the underrated guy, like, before, he didn't have a good year this year at all. But somebody who would have, like. I know he can't make NIL, but if he could have, Eric Vila had, like, a really interesting stretch four play style that I think some coaches would have, like, thrown the bag at. Like, this team as a whole, this was, like, the most hype I've ever been about UTEP basketball. They had such an interesting non-conference run. They have the best resume. I think out of any Joe Golden, or not even Joe Golden, any Joe Golden, Rodney Terry combined team, like, they had the best resume. They had a win over against New Mexico State, who I think made the NCAA tournament. They had a win against Ball State, who did pretty good. They played pretty well down the stretch. The New Mexico win. And then Daryl Edwards, like, after it all fell apart in conference play, he, like, single-handedly willed them into the Conference USA tournament because you used to have to qualify for that. It wasn't a given.
Remember.
They had to qualify, and they dominated pod play to get in, if you guys remember that. Conference USA pod play.
It was, what, like a 4 or 5 game win streak to close it out. Yeah.
Pod play. Wow. When you're playing teams like Southern Miss and Old Dominion versus teams like Missouri State and Delaware. So those are the good old days in Conference USA, not like what we're the crap we're seeing. So this is how they started the 2020s, by the way. You know, this is how they started the decade, playing with teams like that. They're so far removed from that, right? From talent level to NIL to transfer portal to everything. I mean, they're so far away from that year's team and those kind of players who are on that roster. So good kind of going down memory lane, guys. I like it as we close out the show here on the program. 915, or I should say this, 915-505-6009. I'm going to say this. Jack in the Box, our great presenting sponsor here on the program, brings us Minor Talk each and every week. Jack in the Box open 24/7, 365, because cravings don't have a curfew. Visit your local Jack in the Box today before or after every game here as we continue. Zay, I appreciate you. Sal, I appreciate you as always. You guys did a great job today. Seattle defeated UTEP 75-68. We'll be back in action next week. UTEP taking on Hawaii, and then we'll be back in action for the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational, which I believe that's when UTEP gets their first win over a Division I opponent this year against Norfolk State. But until then, we'll be back in action on Sports Talk starting tomorrow at 4. But for Sal Montes, for Zay Galindo, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're signing off and saying so long. Thanks for listening to Minor Talk. Talk brought to you by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.